Good morning, good morning. Let's lift our voices this morning. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, you know that I'll be satisfied. It's a may, anyways, and grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch. Oh, like me, oh, Lord. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found, Lord, anyway. Oh, Lord, come on and sing anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied anyway you bless me, Lord, you know that I'll be satisfied. Oh, I heard of the voice of my Jesus say, come on to me, here you can rest. Oh yes, he said, bow down, my weary one, bow down, Lord, anyway. Oh, come on and sing anyway. Lord, be satisfied anyway you. Oh, Lord, come on anyway. You bless me, Lord. Be satisfied anyway you bless me, Lord, you know that I'll be satisfied.
Anyway you bless me, Lord, we sing, I will be satisfied. You know, that is a beautiful song that we sing, and I hope we can take those words to heart, that no matter how we are blessed, no matter how life may serve us, and how we may find our situations, any way that you bless me, Lord, we're going to be satisfied. I tell people when we're in the live audience, sometimes we tell lies unintentionally in song, because we are not satisfied with any way the Lord blesses us. We are not content with any way the Lord works with us. We don't enjoy the trials that we are going through. We don't enjoy situations we find ourselves in. And sometimes we spend an awful lot of time asking the question, why me, Lord? Why now, Lord? But anyway, you bless me. The Lord, you say, I'll be satisfied. What an appropriate song. My name is Emmanuel White, and I am the minister of the Church of Christ in Forest Hill. It is a privilege to be able to come into your homes by way of cell or laptop, iPad, Android, desktop, whichever method you find yourself using this morning. We thank God that we have an opportunity to share with you and to communicate with you the Word of God in this medium. We know that there are a lot of things going on in the world, and there are a lot of concerns. Every time we have a service like this, and we're not able to congregate as we've been accustomed to, we are reminded once again where the world is and how life has been changed so abruptly over the last couple of months. But God is able, He is really able to work with us in the midst of crises. God is able to assist us and to give us hope in the midst of trial. And all we need to do is trust Him explicitly because He is totally in control even during a time like this. We are prayerful for all of those who have lost loved ones as a result of this COVID-19. We are prayerful for all of those that are working and have to work, but don't feel safe while they're working. We are prayerful for all those individuals who are working in the grocery stores, day in and day out, stocking and restocking the shelves to ensure that we have what we need when we go into those stores. We are thankful for all of those that work in the hospitals, all of those who are attending to those in confinement centers such as nursing homes. We're prayerful for those families who aren't able to be with their loved ones because they're inhibited to go and see them at this time. And the strain that it must place on their heart to not to be able to touch, talk to, or to hug their loved ones. We're prayerful. This is a time like no other time we have experienced. But God knew this day was coming before He made the world. And God is certainly in control of all things. We want to, as we do, as our custom, to open up our song of fellowship with one another. My hallelujah. And everybody else ought to be able to say hallelujah. My hallelujah. My thank you, Jesus. You know, and all of His glory, all of the glory goes to God. Would you sing along with me as we celebrate and worship our God together? My hallelujah belongs to you. 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 And my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. 'Cause all of the glory belongs to you, and all of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you, and all of the glory belongs to you. Amen. Amen. I want to invite your attention to the Gospel according to Luke this morning. The 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And it's an interesting passage there. And we're sending in times, we face times right now where current events is really what's on our mind. There is not a time we turn on the television, listen to the radio, or watch news on our phones or devices that we are hearing tragic stories. Stories that make us want to call somebody and say, did you hear about? Did you know? Did you know what happened there? Did you hear about what's going on there? Did you hear about the lady on the cruise that lost her husband? Did you hear about the family that went to a funeral to say goodbye to the loved ones and all of them left with the virus? Many of them have died. Have you heard? We are talking about the things that are happening. And it's pressing on our minds. And all we can say is, why? Why is this happening? And in our hearts, it may feel like the worst thing or some of the worst news that we could ever hear, that we've ever heard in our lives. We have a text this morning that I want to share that sort of sets the stage about when things are going wrong and when things are not working right and when tragedy takes place, when cruelty is demonstrated, when people lose their lives suddenly for seemingly no reason at all. Does God's word speak to us? And does God have something to say about that? In the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, I want to read, starting in verse number 1, there were present at that season some that told him, that is Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus is in the city. He is there in Capernaum and waiting on teaching them. And while waiting, they run to him. Have you heard? Did you know? What do you think about? And he's telling them about a tragedy that took place where the government, Pilate, sanctioned soldiers to go and kill individuals who it seems like they were causing an uproar amongst the government. But while they were worshiping, while they were in the temple worshiping, Pilate had them killed. They were slain on the altars and they were offering sacrifices. And Jesus, when he heard that answering, said unto them, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? There's a tendency for us to wonder sometimes when tragedy befalls people, when the tornado sits on the ground and it's a mile wide and it stays on the ground for 100 miles and all the people in that path, their lives are shattered. Many lives are lost. We wonder sometimes, those people, what were they doing for that to happen to them? This is not a normal occasion. What must they have been doing for that kind of event to take place? There was this overlapping notion during that time that when good things happen to people, it's because they are good. And when bad things happen to people, it's because they are bad. So when you look at what happens with people, you wonder, well, is it happening because of their life or is it just happening? We see this come up with Job's friends. When Job, you know anything about the book of Job? Well, Job, when he lost all of his possessions, all of his cattle, all of his possessions, he lost his children all in one day. And when his friends finally came, sat with him for a while, when they finally opened up their mouth, the first thing was, Job, why don't you repent? Because you must have done something wrong. And that's the way we feel sometimes when tragedy befalls. But Jesus, when he says, do you think that those Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? I tell you no. He says, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I want to speak for a few moments on the subject, the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy. What would you say would be the greatest tragedy that you've ever heard about? What would you think would be the greatest tragedy to befall humanity? Someone drowning in sea? Plane crashing and people who are trapped can't get off? They die? Not having any place to go? A fire consumes an apartment? People are trapped in. They can't get out. And they suffer. And you hear the screams of the people on the outside. What a tragedy. A tsunami comes in. And people, while they're vacationing on a beach, all of a sudden look up and mighty waves of water wash them away. And their families are drowned. Their lives are torn asunder, never to be the same. What a tragedy. A tornado or a hurricane comes in. People are drowned, washed away, never found. People are taken up in the air by the wind. Their bodies never recovered. What a tragedy. People are suffering and dying from a disease that they can't see. Not knowing when they came in contact with it, only knowing after they've acquired the symptoms that something is wrong. And they go through the agony of wondering when and where and who have I affected? And they die. What a tragedy. But those tragedies, though they may touch our hearts, pull at our hearts, are not the greatest tragedy that can ever happen. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto men once to die. One time you're going to die, but afterwards comes the judgment. You have an appointment once you're going to die, but afterwards there will be a judgment. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, that what doth it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, to get everything you want in life, to make sure that you never come in contact with the coronavirus, to make sure that nobody in your family is ever touched, to have the money to do what you need to do with, like you need to do it, to be able to protect your loved one, to live a long life. What does it profit a man if he were to gain everything he wants in life and then he loses his own soul? The greatest tragedy. Then Jesus goes on in verse 4 of this chapter and says, yes, I know about other tragedies. Are those 18 individuals upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, a structure that perhaps because of an earthquake or some structural damage falls on unsuspecting people and 18 people die. All of a sudden, because the tower fell and it slew them, Jesus said, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? You think that's the worst thing that can happen to you, that a tower falls on you? Do you think that the worst thing that can happen to you is that you hear you've contracted COVID-19, do you think that the worst that can happen to you is that you drown at sea? You burn in a fire? You contract AIDS? You are hearing that you have cancer and it's tough. Do you think that's the worst that can happen to you? Jesus said, no, I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus takes a group of individuals who are totally focused on the here and now. That what I can see, what I can taste, what I can touch, what I can smell and feel, the right now. And he transcends them from the present moment to another realm of existence. There is a world, there is a life that exists far beyond what we experience here. And the only way you can make that journey and see God's face in peace is that you must be willing to hear His Son. You must be willing to change your life. You must be willing to acknowledge to the Almighty when you know you are wrong and you make restitution with Him. Because He's made provisions for you. He says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. And then Jesus tells a parable. And I love this parable. And this parable, the subject about the parable is repentance. You need to repent. He says, a certain man had a fig tree that's planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And then he said to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? Wait a minute. He says, 3 years I have come looking for fruit. It is reminding the people of Israel that for 3 years, Jesus has been walking amongst them. For 3 years, He's been performing miracles. For 3 years, He's been healing their sick, looking for fruit. What fruit? Repentance. Looking for turning back to Him. And for 3 years, for the most part, the nation of Israel has not turned their heart to God. Jesus said, and he's found none. So the dresser says, after 3 years, cut it down. Cut it down. Why is it still taking up space in my vineyard? If it's not going to bear fruit, cut it down. And I just wonder, how many times has God had to say about us, I've been looking for repentance for 5 years. I've been working with you. I've been giving you time. I've been being patient with you. And for 5 years, I've been waiting on you to really change your life. And for 5 years, you know you're wrong. You keep saying, I'm going to get better. I'm going to do better. But you don't change. Why am I still allowing them to live? Why am I still allowing them to exist? And then he answered and said, Lord, let it alone this year also. Let me dig about it. Let me dung it. Let me fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, then good. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. You know, the Lord has been patient with us for a long, long time. In spite of the fact that we have not given him our best life, we have not lived a sacrificial life. We have continually done things that we know are contrary to his will and to his word. We know we're not living faithful. We know we are not living a consecrated life towards him. We know we haven't given our heart totally to God, and yet God still allows us to live. And Jesus continuously pleads the case for us. Father, give them some more time. Let me work with them a little more. And every time we see a tragedy, it ought to remind us that life is short. James writes, what is your life? It is even like a vapor that appeareth for just a little while, and then it vanisheth away. What is your life? It's so short. It goes by so quick. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. But that is not the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy that can ever happen is for you to live, for you to die, and face God unrepentant. Jesus came to this world to make it possible for mankind to turn back to God. His whole purpose was to seek and save those that were lost. He wanted to make sure that every person had an opportunity. They had a great chance to get things right with God. He made it possible for no matter how many sins we have done, no matter how long we have done them, no matter how terrible we've lived our lives, he has given us opportunity to get right. All we need to do is trust in the blood of Jesus. All we need to do was accept the saving grace of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There is no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Jesus has made it possible for us in the midst of tragedies, in the midst of Corona-19, in the midst of everything that we have experienced in this life, we have hope because we can get our souls right with God. And yet, if you miss every tragedy, if nobody in your family is touched by the virus, if nobody dies an unexpected death, no storms, no illness, no accident, no homicide, nothing comes into your life, and you die without God, it will be the greatest tragedy that you've ever experienced. Because you did not turn your heart back to God. Repentance is a change of mind. You have to change your mind about how you live in your life. Isn't it amazing when you're doing something that's wrong, you know you're doing wrong, and yet you're choosing to do it anyway, but you know you're doing wrong. Repentance is, I know I'm doing wrong, and I've decided that I'm no longer going to do what I feel like I have the right to do. I'm no longer going to do what I feel like I have the liberty to do. I choose to change my life. And when you make that decision, you need the help of God's Spirit, and he'll give you the strength to actually change your ways when you didn't know how you were going to change. You didn't know what you were going to do to change. You didn't know where to begin to change. It starts with you making a decision. You must decide, I no longer feel comfortable living the way I am living, acting the way I've been acting. And so this morning, my prayer for all of us is that as we hear all of the tragic news about the lives that are being changed forever due to the pandemic, as we hear all of this information, let's not think in our hearts that we've just witnessed, we've just seen, we've just heard the most terrible thing that could ever befall a person. No, my friends, Jesus put it in these words, except you repent. Something much worse than you can ever imagine is going to befall you, except you repent. You shall all likewise perish. This time, we want to give your hearts an opportunity to start turning towards God. Jesus told the disciples after his resurrection to go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to every creature. The good news is that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Jesus said, go everywhere you can and preach that message. And he said to them, now, those he that believeth what you're preaching and is baptized shall be saved. You have to teach men. You have to teach women what it takes for them to be found right with God. You go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Those that repent, those that turn to God, those that give their life, God offers them something that you can't find in this world. Everlasting life. Everlasting peace. You know, I may not live to be 100 physically in this life, but I've been promised that I will live eternally with him in the next life because I've given him my all. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we invite you to become a part of God's spiritual family. You come by hearing the good news, how he died, was buried and resurrected on the third day. Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, and surrender to water baptism for the remission of your sins? And you'll be added to the body called the church. You may say, well, yes, I want to be baptized, but I don't know. Nobody's at the church. If you call us, we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized. You call us, we'll get with you, and we'll make sure you be baptized. For those of you who are part of the spiritual family of God, you as priests, you are royal priesthood. You have access to the kingdom of God. If you know you're not living right, then you need to go to God, acknowledge to him your sins. Take your burdens to him and leave them there. And repent of your sins. He will forgive you. And he'll cleanse you. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, when you confess your faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and his blood of his dear son will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank God that we have a remedy for the greatest tragedy that can befall man, and that is repentance. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ability to recognize what is happening in this world, but Father, more importantly, how to prepare for the other world. May we not be fixated so in this world that we forget that there is another world, a more sustaining world, a more enduring world, an everlasting world. And may we start living for that world. May we start talking about that world. May we start paying attention to that world. Put our focus on heavenly things, things that are above, and not spend all of our time focused on things that are below. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for making it possible for every person to be right in your eyes because of his sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity we have to get the word out to the world that Jesus saves. We ask this prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust you have been encouraged by the word, and trust that the word has helped you to refocus your life and make sure you don't get caught up in the things of this world so much so that you forget what is really important. This time we want to transition into an aspect of our service where we are commanded to give upon the first day of the week. We are to lay by in store as God has prospered us. We are to give to God. And so you have an opportunity to, through our website, to give, to be able to share what God has given you. It blesses the kingdom. It makes it possible for us to do the work that we do. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for those who are preparing to give, for having something to give. We thank you, Father, for how you sustain us in the midst of crises. We know that your word is true. When you told us to seek you first, your kingdom, seek your righteousness, and all of the needs that we really have will always be fulfilled. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you for allowing us to share with you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we want to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, Jesus was in an upper room with his disciples, and while being there, he instituted this supper. He took bread, and he broke that bread, and he blessed it. And he told them to take and eat, because this is my body, he said. Let us pray for the bread. Father, we thank you for your broken body, for your body that you sacrificed for all humanity, for every person in the world. Father, may we partake of this bread at this time, remembering why you laid down your life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. While in that room, he also took the cup and he said, "Drink ye all of it, because this is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let us give thanks for the shedding of his blood. Father, we thank you for your great sacrifice, for you being willing to lay down your life and shed your blood, your precious blood, to give your Son, your only begotten, in order for us to have access to you. We pray that we will never forget why we are able to come to you. It's not because of our goodness, but it's because of your great love and great sacrifice. We ask this prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We are thankful for this opportunity we've had to worship today. We trust you've been encouraged. We trust that you are staying faithful, staying hopeful in spite of things being different in your life. God really loves you. We want to thank Brother Patterson for directing our singing today. I want to thank Brother Landrum for opening and closing our service today. I want to thank those who work with the technology to make it possible for you to share with us at this moment. God loves you, and so do I, and so I pray that you will join us again next time we come together to study another portion of His Word. Amen. At this time, Brother Patterson.